Welcome to The Week Ahead in Russia, RFERL's Monday podcast about significant developments and upcoming events in Moscow and beyond. I'm Steve Gutterman, and my guest this week is Matthew Luxmore, a journalist based in Moscow. Matthew, today I wanted to talk about a couple of things. One is the Russian government's push to shut down Memorial, one of the oldest and most widely respected human rights groups in Russia. The other is the crisis on the border between Poland and Belarus, which I'd say is first and foremost a humanitarian crisis, with the fate of many migrant families in the balance. But it has also aggravated tension between the West and Belarusian ruler Alexander Lukashenko, and also between the West and Russia. Let's talk about that first. Matthew, you did a gripping story for RFERL from the border area in Poland earlier this month. I think really one of the first accounts from the area itself. It focused on one Syrian family's desperate ordeal, but also described the situation as a whole. Tell us a bit about what is going on there and what you saw.
Sure. I mean, it's a rather incredible situation there on the border. Thousands of migrants have made it to the border with Poland by way of Belarus, flying from countries like Yemen, Syria, Iraq, Afghanistan, and in most cases seeking a better life in Europe and seeking asylum, predominantly in Germany. So they hope to pass through Poland en route to Germany. But when I was there, you could simply walk through the forest near the border area adjoining Poland and Belarus, which has been cordoned off by police. But if you walk through the forest in the areas that are not part of the restricted zone, you could occasionally see people just walking through the forest. And it became very clear that some of these people were in dire straits, that they had slept in the forest for a long time, evading essentially police, army, and police patrols, because if they were caught, they would then be pushed back across the border into Belarus, in most cases that have been cited by rights activists and the migrants that I've spoken to and the other journalists have spoken to as well. And this is really kind of escalating into a much bigger geopolitical crisis, with Belarus and its backer Russia on one side, and Poland, which is essentially, in the words of Polish officials, defending the European Union's eastern flank from what Angela Merkel, for instance, said is state-backed human trafficking by Lukashenko's government in Belarus. So the situation is certainly escalating, and it's kind of unclear right now. You have a standoff in the border with several thousand migrants on the Belarusian side who occasionally at night in small groups are able to break through. And then you have around 12,000 Polish troops that are monitoring and controlling the other side of the border, trying to stop these migrants from slipping through. And at the same time, you have conditions, weather conditions, that are rapidly worsening. So it's becoming far colder in that part of Poland and Belarus. And many of these people are ill-equipped to survive those kinds of conditions, especially those who have already slept there for a long time. These people read often upbeat Arabic language posts on various forums that they've looked at before making this journey, which they pay several thousand dollars for in many cases, mm-hmm. to certain package tour companies. And then they head to the border, and I think many of them don't quite expect what they find. But what they have found is quite a dire situation, where they have to wait for a very long time for something that may never come, which is asylum in Poland or Germany.
And I guess, I mean, the family you focused on, you know, that you met, they were, you know, most of their members were essentially hiding out in the forest and swampy, wet, cold area. But I guess in a way, you know, they finally got through. And I guess, you know, I'd hate to say it, but it seems like they were perhaps lucky in terms of the timing, as it's getting, you know, getting colder and the situation seems to be getting more you know, more desperate, I guess, and as the geopolitical situation also kind of develops around it.
Yeah, certainly. And Poland is dispatching more and more troops to the border area, really building up its forces there. Yesterday, one senior Polish official invoked NATO's help in monitoring the border. And at the same time, we've obviously seen the movements, the Russian troop movements near the border with Ukraine, which U.S. officials have warned could be part of some kind of planned invasion even of Ukraine. So that this part of the world is certainly very much tense at the moment, and people are very much watching for a possible escalation. So it's anything, it's one to watch, but it's definitely tense.
Yeah, and I guess one of the things the U.S. officials are saying is that Russia is using this migrant crisis on the Belarusian-Polish border and to some extent Lithuanian border to distract or to draw attention away from the situation around Ukraine and the Donbass, where you have these many Western countries say are worrisome troop movements. So, but right. I guess that's a discussion for a further podcast, maybe. I'd like to go on now to what really seems like a momentous development inside Russia, even if it's perhaps predictable, and certainly part of the Kremlin's clampdown on civil society, independent media, and opponents, both real and perceived. I'm talking about the Memorial, efforts to close Memorial. I say perceived because in this case, in a way, the idea that Memorial could actually be an opponent or a danger to the Russian government, which has in part, accused it of being of supporting extremism, seems quite outlandish on the face of it. This is a group that has worked doggedly since the 1980s, among other things, to establish truth about the Soviet past, expose the crimes of the Stalin era and the rest of the Soviet period. And that's something that many people believe is crucial for Russia's future, a reckoning with the past. But it's clear that many in Russia's ruling circles do not share that view. And Kremlin critics say the effort to close Memorial is, in fact, an effort to obscure the past. Just to give some details, Memorial said last week that prosecutors have asked courts to order the closure of both International Memorial and the Memorial Human Rights Center, which are parts of the same movement. Hearings are scheduled for the Russian Supreme Court and the Moscow City Court on these two cases or lawsuits against Memorial next week. Matthew, you're in Moscow. How's this being seen there?
I think this this news last week that prosecutors were moving to close Memorial completely really came as a momentous piece of news and quite a shocking piece of news, I think, for anyone tied to Memorial, but also just people, I think, who care about Russia's transparency about the past or hoped for transparency about the past. I mean, this is Russia's oldest human rights organization. It's an organization for the last 30 years has really doggedly and painstakingly worked to uncover Soviet-era crimes quite objectively, I think, and really encouraged officials to speak about them openly. They've also had a huge network of activists across Russia who have been working on a local level to encourage the erection of monuments to victims of the Soviet-era Gulag forced labor camps, to trawl through local archives and bring people the truth about these dark pages of Russia's past. And they've really, I think, as an organization, been, I guess, a bulwark to the government's attempts to really muddy the waters around Russia's history, which is certainly a campaign that has been ratcheted up throughout Putin's 21 years in power. So this is a very, very significant development. It's unclear yet, rather it's not confirmed yet, the Memorial will be shut down. But as we saw recently with the case against opposition leader Alexei Navalny's movement in Russia, when prosecutors in Russia moved to declare your group extremist or shut it down for another reason, the subsequent court case doesn't usually tend to go in your favor. So I think most people in Russia, supporters of Memorial, but also just, I guess, more neutral observers, probably expect this particular move against Memorial to go ahead. And I think it's worth adding also that this should definitely be seen in the scope and the kind of larger scope of Russian government's crackdown on opposition and really civil society groups that has really accelerated over the past year since the return to Russia of Navalny after his convalescence in Germany from the effect of poisoning that he blames on the Kremlin. So I think on one hand, yeah, authorities have for a long time been kind of waging this war of attrition against Memorial, slapping it with lots of fines because of its alleged violations of the duties that were imposed on it due to its foreign agent label. Right. But I think it also should definitely be seen as a kind of victim maybe of the times to a large extent, where this broader campaign against civil society and the opposition has been accelerating. And I think few large movements have really managed to really kind of slip through the net.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like in this case, it's kind of like it was somehow unexpected, but expected at the same time, if that makes any sense. And we'll see next week with the hearings, court hearings in the Supreme Court and Moscow City Court. But as you say, you know, these things, these cases do not often go in favor of the groups or individuals that are being targeted by the state. Okay, we're running out of time and we'll wrap it up there. Matthew, thanks very much for joining me.
Sure. Thanks for having me, Steve.
Okay, great to have you on the podcast again. I'll be back next Monday, and please keep an eye out on Friday for my Week in Russia newsletter. Thanks for listening.